Well, good morning, everyone. There was a young man taking a midterm exam, and the teacher noticed him twitching and struggling and making faces, and the teacher quietly walked up to the boy and asked, "How close are you to the right answer?" The boy looked over to his right and he says, "About two seats." Sometimes we may feel like that in life. As Christians, we are told to walk by faith. But sometimes we struggle and feel like the answers that we seek are two seats away. God does give us many opportunities to put our faith into action, to truly put our trust in Him. We just need to act on it. We also need to overcome the fear that sometimes hinders our trust. This was the case in our reading from 1 Kings. I love this reading from Elijah. I love it because, like so many others, God steps into this man's life and literally rocks his world and the world around him. Elijah is one of the prophets that really stands out in the Old Testament. Of course, we see him again in the New Testament at the Transfiguration of Jesus. Reading the prophets should be an encouragement to all of us. I marvel at how all through Scripture, God just picks ordinary people to do extraordinary things for His glory. But they have to do something in the mix of this. They have a free will. They have to choose to walk by faith. All we know about Elijah's background is that he was a Tishbite. He was born in Tishbe. And what is most important is how powerful the ministry of Elijah was. The ministry of a prophet was not easy because it usually meant you took the word of God into places where God wanted to get their attention of the people and the leadership. And sometimes they died. It could be dangerous. Think of the least place on earth you would like to go. Now, God tells you to go there with a particular word that He will give you. And that's exactly what Elijah did. Elijah is probably remembered most because of the face-off that he had with one of the most vicious kings of that day, Ahab. Ahab gave into the influence of Jezebel and began worshiping Baal, the sun god idol. Elijah then has this throwdown with the priests of Baal. They are going to call down fire for a burnt offering, and the Baal priests try, and Elijah begins to taunt them. We all know this story. Then Elijah steps up. He built an altar with the bull sacrifice on it. He had the sacrifice and the wood drenched with water, not once, not twice, but three times, and the trench was filled with water. And defying all logic, he then calls out on the one true God and offering, and the sacrifice and the water were all consumed. Walking with God is a matter of trust, knowing that He is with you when He calls you to do something. You might say, well, that's fine. He's Elijah. He's a prophet. He's had a special connection. The fact is, Elijah was just a man. Yes, he had an anointing, but he had to listen and to walk in faith. Let's look at today's reading. God has caused a three-year drought in the land, and it gets the people's attention. And again, it was a call of action through Elijah when he called before the king and said, this is going to happen. God says to Elijah, do it, then go into hiding, and I will take care of you along the way. So he does, and he goes, he leads him by a brook where he got water, and the ravens, we're told, fed him. When the brook dries up, he tells him to go to this woman in Zarephath. Now let's look at her faith. This woman has nothing left. She's gathering these sticks for her last meal for her and her son. She has a little flour and a little oil left over. She just wants to eat this last meal and then die. That's all she has in her future. They have a conversation. And what did Elijah tell this woman in the midst of that conversation? He said, "Do not fear." That's important because she probably is already dealing with tremendous amounts of fear. But she is about to experience something beyond her comprehension. Fear is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, hindrance in our walk with God. It stifles our ability to listen and to understand and to walk in the Lord's will. So Elijah centers on this first obstacle in a woman's life at that moment. Fear over her situation. Fear of dying. Probably fear over the well-being of her son. What if she dies first? She probably had all these things going through her head. We look around in our own lives sometimes and we can be consumed by fear. So Elijah next gives an instruction. First, give me a drink and make me a cake, and then make something for yourself and your son. Now, that might seem pretty selfish, right? We look at that and say, well, why me first? But every time I read this story, I think of being on an airplane when we're told, if an oxygen mask comes down, make sure you put it on yourself first so you be able to help those who are around you. Elijah is not being selfish or mean in his request. God is using him. And God is going to use him in this woman's life, in the life of her son. But she also has a choice to make. We know from the reading that God was already working on this woman's heart because he told Elijah, when you go, I've told this woman, I spoke to this woman. Take what I'm offering. Step out in faith. This is what she has to deal with. Too many times people look at a door that is open to them and they go and they peek inside and then they close the door on God. Out of fear, we say, unless I have some sort of guarantee. The woman is at the end of her food supply. This is real. This is a little bit of oil and it's real. This little bit of flour is real. I can touch and I can taste it. Where in the world will my future supply come from? Where will I get more flour? Where will I get more oil? She could have said, I'm a realist. What you are saying, Elijah, is in fantasy land. But again, Elijah said what? Do not fear. And here's why. And it's really great news. God is a realist also. He is as real as me looking at you right now. I want to be clear. I'm not saying we ignore reality of the physical world around us. God gave us all these conditions to live in. What I am saying is that God is every bit a part of what we call real, and he intervenes in this world because he created it. God stepped into Elijah's physical reality to use him to bring God's reality to the people. God stepped into this woman's reality, her last bit of her provision, and out of her obedience, she is blessed beyond her wildest dreams. The more she dipped into that oil, there was more there. The more she scooped out that flour, there was more there. Just like Jesus fed the 5,000 with a few fish and a few loaves of bread. God constantly provided for this woman and her son as long as the need was there until the drought was over. I read some background on this story, and one person says a question might be asked, how come God didn't provide all the flour and all the oil at once? Because if that happened, where is her focus? It's on the oil and it's on the flour. What if it's also for her protection? What if other people came to harm her to get what she had? So God provided the need at the time that she needed it. When she took some out, more was there. It's there for the next time. And she took that out, more is there for the next time. Her need was met just as Elijah had said and as God had promised. God is the provider. So how does all this speak to us? Well, the Old Testament is full of God working through people to fulfill his purpose, to usher in the coming of the Messiah. God wanted a holy people who looked to him. The very fact that that Ahab allowed his kingdom to be corrupted by Jezebel should be a huge warning. King Ahab allowed the reality of God to be replaced with false gods, endless and meaningless pursuits of dead-end gods, with one goal in mind, to draw them away from the truth of who God is. The same thing that happened to Ahab and the surrounding areas, the same thing that's happened many other times throughout history. When you take your sight off of the one who created us, when you are no longer a people that calls out to God as your source of life, you begin to bow to other gods, whatever that might be in our lives. This has been the cycle throughout the ages. Through the prophets, we are called to be ready to trust God until the time when, as promised, God himself came in the person of Jesus Christ. Through his sacrifice and through the anointing of his promised Spirit, he has fulfilled the words of the prophet Joel. Again, a prophet speaks out in the Old Testament, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see vision." God pours out his Spirit on all who want to receive him. The very same Spirit that anointed Elijah is the same Spirit that overcame the Baal worshipers. It's the same Spirit that fed Elijah. The same Spirit that increased the provision of the widow woman so many hundreds of years ago. The same Spirit that spoke through Joel. The same Spirit that fell at Pentecost. He is the same Spirit that will and does work through us today. The other day I listened to a testimony. I was on Facebook, and it was Tim Tebow giving one of his testimonies. Now everybody knows who Tim Tebow is, right? Tim Tebow, he was the quarterback for the Florida Gators, and he's a dedicated Christian who went to the national championships with University of Florida. And he made a lot of headlines along the way. In college, he began putting a scripture reference on his eye black marks under his eyes. He had on there for the longest time Philippians 4:13, which means I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, during the championship game, the biggest game of his college career, he decided he wanted to do something different. So he went to his coach and he asked him, he says, "I want to put John 3:16 on my eye black." And the coach said, "Okay." He was a little superstitious, he said. He didn't know if it was okay or not, but he agreed to let him go ahead and do it. And which means, of course, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He really didn't make a big deal out of it. He just wanted to do that as a profession of his faith. And after the game, one of the PR persons approached him and said, "Tim, you wouldn't believe what happened." He said 94 million people Googled that scripture to see what it meant. Fast forward 3 years later, a shaky start in the NFL, Tim is called in to take over as quarterback of the Denver Broncos and leads them into the playoffs during one of the playoff games. Once again, after the playoff game, once again, a PR person came up to Tim and he said, you don't realize what just happened. He says, "Once again, over 90 million people have Googled John 3:16. But get this, this is also what he told Tim. He said, "Tim passed for 316 yards in that game. He averaged 31.6 yards per pass. The CBS ratings came in that night at 31.6 during the game." And, you know, you just can't make that stuff up. You know, that's the way it happened. What difference did it make in some people's lives? We may never know who people read that and comprehended that and took that in. And you may say, "Well, that's Tim Tebow. He's a football star, now a baseball hopeful." Yesterday, about 20 of us came to hear Debbie Frock and Deacon Ross tell their testimony from this past summer. Debbie and her team did her annual 8-week summer mission reaching out to children in Ghana with reading classes during that 8-week summer mission. Deacon Roz was part of a team that took the message of Jesus into the ministry of, through the ministry of Kairos, which is like Crucio in prison, into a woman's prison, and the lives of those women and the team members themselves were blessed with God's presence coming into their lives. Now some may say, well, that's Debbie Frock and that's Roz Hall. You see, we can always say, well, that's so-and-so and that's somebody else. God has a special plan for them. But we have to realize we are somebody. All of us are somebody. And you have Christ, if you have Christ in your life, he is calling you to be someone in your world right where you are. But if it takes, it takes a willingness, a choice to say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. Yes, Lord, I want the anointing of your Spirit on me. We are now the ones who should be out there telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ. We are the ones who should be saying to culture, I'm not going to bow to idols in my life anymore. We are the ones who should be seeing miracles and signs and wonders happening in and through us. Because family of God, it is through you and me and anyone who says yes to Jesus that people are going to be watching and asking, how do I get my flower bucket filled? How do I get my jar of oil filled? Where does my provision come from? We have to be accountable to one another and shore each other up and pray for one another. Because it is easy to take our eyes off of the prize, as Paul says. It doesn't take much to allow sin to be overcome us and hinder our relationship with God. Dear family, we are so blessed to carry out God's call in our lives as a parish and as individuals. We are blessed to be a nation with so many freedoms to that we can do that, freely exercise our faith and share the good news that God has given us. Today, we celebrate Veterans Day and Armistice Day, a day where we recognize and remember those who defend and have defended those freedoms that we do share. Today, we also celebrate the ingathering of our commitments to this ministry that God has entrusted us with so that we can make a difference in the world around us. I pray that the people of this land will open and or reopen their eyes to the truth that can only come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray that God will continue to bless us and to use us in many ways that he has for us and to honor him. God is still calling on those who will listen and be open to him today. God is still working through the Holy Spirit today. How close are we to the right answer? We're just a prayer away. God has the right answer for you, for me, for anyone who calls on him. God, by his Spirit, is active and ready to guide each of us through this journey that he has for us. And he will continue to fill your jar with whatever you need to get his mission done in the world around you. When Jesus commented on the widow woman giving out of her poverty, it wasn't about the money. It was about her heart. She was surrendering her total being to God to put her total faith in him. And that's what he is asking each of us to do. Surrender our heart to him. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all the opportunities that you give us on a daily basis, Lord God. I pray, Father, that we would keep our spiritual eyes open to the doors that you open for us. Don't let us just peek in and say, I'm a realist, Help us to peek in and then move, Lord God, in the direction that you've called us to go. There are so many people around this community who are hurting, who are searching, who need their jars filled and are asking, where can I go? Father, I pray for all the churches of this community. It doesn't matter who they are, Lord God. I've always said there's no denominations in heaven. So, Father, we just ask that you would move mightily throughout the body of Christ in this community as they reach out to people around them as well. But, Father, we come to you now as a parish. We ask, Lord, that you would just rejuvenate our heart. Pour out your Spirit on us, Lord God, that we might hear your voice and move when you say move. And if we have to go right, we go right. We go left, we go left. We go straight, we go straight. If we have to back up, we have to back up. Father, we just ask to let us hear your voice in our lives. So, Father, we thank you. We look forward to what you're going to do through each and every person here and through this parish as a whole. As we give our lives to you, we give our ministries to you, and we ask that you be glorified through it all. And we thank you, Father, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.